Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller, and first thing on the show, we're speaking with someone who's raising awareness about a disorder that impairs the immune system. Cheryl Jackson has been sick for most of her life. She's now in her early 40s, and it's only the last couple of years that she's been able to count on relatively good health. She saw doctors for years, trying to find a reason, any reason, why she was so often sick. She had relatively mild but nevertheless debilitating short-term illnesses. Then she was finally diagnosed with common variable immunodeficiency disease. From that point on, she's made it part of her life's work to make as many people as possible aware of the disease and to help others, like herself, who often feel isolated and alone. Today, she's speaking with WUTC's Richard Winham.
Well, most of my life I was sick. You know, just things that can be really dismissed as allergies. It was a lot of sinus-related type things, upper respiratory infections, bronchitis, tonsillitis. So as a child, it was nothing for me to miss 3 weeks of school every year.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. My mother had been going through a lot of old documents, and she found some of my old report cards. And actually, my first, third, and fifth grade report cards. And back in those days, they actually kept attendance on your, you know, and it showed on your report card how many days absent. All three of those years, I was absent 18 days. Every year, I would have, you know, started out as upper respiratory and would end up like bronchitis, and I would just be, you know, sick. And it would take two or three courses of antibiotics to get over. And, you know, actually almost missed my sixth grade graduation because I was so ill. The doctor was actually to the point, if the last antibiotic he didn't try me on, which was kind of a new experimental drug, he was going to do a lumbar puncture to see if I had leukemia. That's how ill I was.
Wow.
And I just couldn't get better, you know. And so then,
leukemia, that's pretty extreme, though, don't you think?
Exactly. Exactly. But again, they had, you know, I'd been to the doctor, you know, three times within 3 weeks because I just wasn't getting better with the antibiotics I had been taking. So fast forward on, you know, to my teenage years, I had lots of tonsillitis issues, you know, woke up every day with a sore throat. But my pediatrician didn't want to take out my tonsils because he said they were part of the immune system. And I didn't understand that until I found out I had this disease. And now I completely understand what his rationale behind that was, because his mentality was, if the tonsils don't get infected, the infection's going to go somewhere else, which it did, my lungs. So I was 21. I had my tonsils taken out. But before they did that, they did allergy testing on me. So I saw an ENT, an allergist. I saw, you know, pediatrician. You know, growing up, I was at the, the doctor actually a lot. So
How did that feel? I mean, I guess for you, that was that, it was, did just, that just seem like that's the norm?
Yeah, it was just the norm.
You didn't know anything else?
Yeah, but again, it was never anything that was so concerning that, you know, it would force me or my parents to look for an underlying cause, so to speak. Because where we live here in Chattanooga, as you know, we have lots of different types of pollen. So allergies are huge here. So they just kind of dismissed my issues as, even though I wasn't allergic to anything because I had allergy testing done twice.
And they couldn't find anything you were allergic to?
Nothing, which actually, looking back, is because I had a problem with my immune system. And I don't understand why they didn't pick up on that, you know, then. Because I was
Isn't an allergy something to do with an immune system to begin with?
Exactly. It's an immune response. So I guess, you know, that's kind of the frustrating part about the disease, is so many people aren't diagnosed until late in life when they, I shouldn't say late in life, later in life, when they've had symptoms all of their life. So the IDF did a survey in 2007, and the average diagnosis, the average time it takes to diagnose someone with primary immunodeficiency is 12.4 years.
At this point, probably like me, you are beginning to wonder, what exactly is this disease? And that is the crux of the problem. According to Cheryl Jackson, medical researchers have identified 250 different forms of the disease, which, according to the Jeffrey Modell Foundation, affects one in every 500 people in the United States. The Jeffrey Modell Foundation was established by a couple whose son suffers from autoimmune disease. Like primary immunodeficiency, there are many forms of autoimmune disease. Crohn's disease, for instance, is an autoimmune disease. In a handout titled 10 Warning Signs of Primary Immunodeficiency, the Jeffrey Modell Foundation lists the warning signs anyone thinking they or someone close to them is suffering from primary immunodeficiency should be aware of. That list, along with this story, is on our website. The medical profession has been aware of primary immunodeficiency since the 1950s. But as Cheryl Jackson's experience bears out, it's too often very difficult to diagnose.
If there's 250 different varieties, do they have similar symptoms?
Some do,
How are they distinguished one from another?
So this is interesting. So I've only been diagnosed now not even 2.5 years. I was diagnosed in May of 2013. When I was diagnosed, there were 150 known primary immunodeficiencies. So in just 2 years, they've discovered 100 more. And they're all genetic in some form. But the problem is, you know, we are really in the forefront of genetics right now. I mean, we're really climbing with our knowledge and, you know, things about genetics and how they affect each and every one of us. So they haven't isolated the gene that causes the particular kind I have, which is common variable immunodeficiency, or CVID. However, they're almost 100%. It is definitely genetic, but they have not isolated the gene where they can do genetic testing. Mm. For example, like my son, does he carry the gene? Will he pass it on to his children? Have I passed the gene on to him? So we don't know that yet.
Pretty scary thought.
Very scary.
That's perhaps the most worrying thing for you, I would think.
Very much so. Actually, I had him tested about 4 weeks after I was diagnosed, just to make sure that, you know, he was okay.
And he is.
He is.
But it could be a dormant gene.
Exactly.
So it might not show up until children or even grandchildren.
Exactly.
Mm. And there's no way to know that.
And we don't know. And again, when I say dormant, we don't know 100% that it is dormant. Mm. You know, we really don't know, so.
Okay, so how did somebody finally figure out that Cheryl's not just a weed?
Exactly.
So how old were you at that point?
I was actually 43 when I was diagnosed.
So you've lived with this for probably half your life.
Oh, yeah, most likely all of my life. I asked my mother, you know, I know I was sick as long as I can remember.
Right.
But when did you see it develop? And she said, you know, as far as emphysema, nothing, you were healthy as a horse, so to speak. But when I turned one, I started getting sick. So, but, you know, back to being diagnosed, actually, I call it my defining moment.
I can imagine.
It was back in December of 2011, and I was 41 at the time. And a girlfriend and I, we go Christmas shopping every year. So it's kind of a tradition we've been doing for about the past 8 or 10 years and have a lot of fun. And had a great day, had a great dinner. I went home that night, went to bed at 10 o'clock, and fell fast asleep. At 2 a.m., I woke up in excruciating abdominal pain. I actually felt like someone was gutting me, for lack of a better term. I mean, it was just the most excruciating pain. I never had any GI issues at all. I ended up in the hospital for 4 days with what's called ischemic colitis. Never heard of ischemic colitis, had heard of ulcerative colitis and, you know, just colitis in general. But the type of colitis I had was very uncommon in a 41-year-old who was considered healthy. Mm. It's very common in elderly people, but not someone my age. So luckily the GI doctor that was on call at the hospital was not going to dismiss it as a fluke. You know, she's like, one and one is not two. Something else is going on here. There's another variable. We're going to get to the bottom of this. So 2012 for me was pretty much a miserable year because what I would eat one day would be fine. I would tolerate it. If I ate it again the next day, I didn't tolerate it, and I would be miserable. So in early 2013, I went in just for a every, you know, kind of saw her every 6 months. I went in for my checkup. And she walked in and she looked at me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "You look sad. Has something happened in your life?" And I said, "You know, Doc, I don't feel well. I haven't felt well since those 4 days I was in the hospital." And she said, "Okay, we're going to get to the bottom of this."
Of course, Cheryl Jackson hadn't really felt well, quote unquote, for most of her life up until that point. But finally, she connected with someone who was determined to solve the puzzle. And she did. With the help of a number of tests, Cheryl Jackson, after 40-plus years, finally had an answer. The treatment protocol has also improved. Initially, she had to go to a clinic once a week for a treatment that lasted 2 or 3 hours. Now she can administer the treatment herself, just once a month.
I guess the concern is that you don't want people to self-diagnose and say, "Oh, that must be me."
Right,
while at the same time, if there is a possibility of it, then you would want people to be proactive.
Most definitely.
And from what you said, if all we're talking about is a pinprick to determine it, then if there's any possibility that someone has this immune disease, they should really press their doctor, shouldn't they? Because the test is so simple.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. And, you know, I'm one of those people that has always believed that everything happens for a reason. You know, you have bad things happen and you learn from them, right? Everything is a learning experience. So, yes, it's a horrible thing being diagnosed with a chronic illness. However, I've had the opportunity and have actually come to realize that I feel like this is my purpose in life, is to help educate others about our disease and help others who have my disease learn to deal with the disease and learn to advocate for themselves and learn to talk about it, because it can be difficult and confusing. I mean, especially, you know, that was one of my issues when I was diagnosed, is how am I going to explain this to people? You know, I don't even understand it. How am I going to make others understand, right? So it often comes up, you know, people ask me how I got this disease, you know, and I'm like, "Well, I didn't get it. You know, I was born with it. It's just rare. It's, you know, not difficult to diagnose. It's just the fact that no one knows about it and understands it and thinks to even test for it." I think that's kind of my message to people, and that's why I'm going out and speaking and trying to help others, because I want them to see that you can live life. And yes, if you're diagnosed in your 40s like I was, which is not uncommon, don't let it become your identity. Don't, you know, it's your story. Don't let your PI write the next chapter. You're going to write that next chapter. And I just think that's important. But it's also, the caveat to that is what you just said. When people look at me, they don't see an ill person. They don't see a sick person. But many chronic diseases are invisible, right?
Apparently.
And it's difficult. That is one difficult aspect of it, is when you don't feel so good, is people look at you and they're like, "Well, you don't look sick." But I do feel sick, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I don't feel so sick anymore. So that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. You know, the I'm always kind of a little leery of labels, because sure, they're reductionist. But you're talking about labeling something like this, it's kind of nice for it to be reductionist, right? That it doesn't take over, that it doesn't, you can put it in a box.
Exactly.
And you don't have to take the box out once a month now.
That's right.
The rest of the time you can just
live life.
More information on this somewhat confusing condition is available through the Immune Deficiency Foundation's website. The address is primaryimmune.org. It should also be noted that contrary to the figures cited by the Jeffrey Modell Foundation, according to the IDF website, only 1 in 50,000 people worldwide is affected by the disease that has afflicted Cheryl Jackson. But again, as Cheryl said, there are 250 different strains of this disease. Both the Modell Foundation and the IDF suggest that consultation with an expert is essential. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.